3rd, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Maraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. 2 Samuel 11:14-18, David had general kill front line. She played on Bathsheba. So it says that they are entitled. Yes, permitted. Then, and people that is being spoken to are those who God is really not pleased with. And he is cautioning them that you are taking too much and you are asking for too much. And words to say, these are my words, but nevertheless, giving you the right understanding and picture for this particular problem that we are looking at right now. God permits them the sheep. They are not called sheep. They are called by another name. I don't know if they know, but God has blessed me to know that this same sheep has reference to previous scripture. The prophet David, in his Bible, was questioned and condemned for having plenty of sheep. Then he went out after another sheep, Bathsheba. He had plenty of sheep. Now he goes out and deceives Bathsheba's man. So this is one of David's generals, and David sees her in the shower from his palace, and he falls in desire for her. I won't say love. Now he wants her so bad, he sends the general out that she was liking to the front of the wall to get him killed, and did get him killed. Now, you know, the Quran does not have these kind of ugly things associated with prophets or charged to prophets, but this is the Bible. So when the general is dead, he takes Bathsheba. She becomes his woman, and he is God rebuking him. Bathsheba is called a sheep. He gives a parable of a man having plenty of sheep and his friend having but one. And he goes out and plots the murder of his friend to get his friend's sheep. So this is the Bible. So this permission to have your sheep is a correction and a completion on that problem. The Quran addresses previous problems. So you're entitled to your sheep, but your sheep, not somebody else's sheep. So God is saying you're entitled, but to your sheep, not to some sheep that is not yours. But they will say any sheep in our name of Muslim is our sheep. Was David general, and was not Bathsheba his general's woman? So she was then in his same society, wasn't she? So Bathsheba from outside David's people. At that time, she was in his society, but how did she get in his society? She was from outside his society, and now she has become the wife of the general and his society. So this is how she came into the society, right? You following me? So for him, we don't care if we are in Islam, where did we come from? We came from outside of Islam and was brought into Islam. We came from outside of their name and language and religion. and we were brought inside by one of theirs, in the event General Mr. W.D. Farrar. And here they are, David, back home, wanting to take us from Mr. Farrar. And they are happy to see me kill Mr. Farrar as God amongst us. They are happy to see me kill Mr. Farrar, but they are going to reap the spoils. To see me kill Mr. Farrar, but they are going to reap the spoils of the war, and they are going to get the fruit of the labor. Well, we have news for them. There is no seat. There never was any seat. We were donkeys, and we have seen an angel with a flaming sword, and we are not donkeys anymore. We are speaking back with a man's voice. We are telling Baal to get off of our back. So just be aware that you, brother, who don't know what I know, cannot protect this community. You can't guide this community. You must take a stick and whip your own behind until you get yourself to obey the leadership and guidance that God has blessed us with. Deviant minds can't distinguish between harm and good. The Quran, Surah 38, ayat 56 to 57. Hell, extreme, hot, cold. The Quran, Surah 101, ayat 1 to 3. What is the noise? The Quran, Surah 27, ayat 4, made their evil deeds fair seeming. So we are created to know the difference between harm and help. We realize, so this thing is hurting me or harming me. So this thing is helping me. All of us are created with that common sense to know that. But the intellect or the rational mind can pursue something to the extent that its own nature, the nature of the mind, changes, and it no longer can distinguish between harm and help. Muslim world leaders have been misguided, fixated. It no longer can distinguish between disease and health. It no longer can distinguish between evil and good. It reaches that extent. It reaches that extent by pursuing something that is against its own human nature. If the thing that is pursuing is against its own human nature, it will eventually take it out of its human nature, and you will then perceive evil as good. You will perceive hate as love. You will perceive sickness as health. You will perceive stupidity as wisdom, etc. So that is what has happened to much of the leadership of the Muslim world. The Muslim world leadership has become fixated. They are all just compelled to dwell on the ugly West. The ugly West, the cruel West. And dealing on that generation after generation has taken them out of their human nature. Now, when they read the Quran, it does not guide them except deeper and deeper into their deformity, or deviation, pardon me, more and more into their deformity. Hellfire twists subjects out of their form. So hell, extreme, hot, and cold. The fires of hell are so severe that it twists things out of the form. On some things, hell has the effect of freezing them to a certain extent, that it breaks up the body. So this is the Quran. And I can go on and on and on describing to you what the Quran says happened to you when you continue to go astray from the beautiful creature Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you to be. In concluding this part of the khutbah, I want to say to you that if you understand your religion, and if you accept the way I have presented it to you, you understand your religion. If you understand your religion, you are in a very, very excellent condition to go after the best life for yourself without frightening other people and making them fear that you want, that what you are after is going to take their good life from them. if you go as I have shown you with the light of the Quran and Muhammad, present and peace be upon him, you are going to be successful anywhere you live in any nation, even in those who oppress. What I have shown you is the light of al-Islam, and the light of al-Islam is also the light of wisdom. You will have the wisdom to survive even the environment of the oppressor. You will not be shamed by the learned. I don't care where they come from or what religion there is. If you keep the mind that I presented to you, that this is the Muslim mind with al-Islam illuminating, it, you are in the best life, and you are situated for the best future on this earth now and after. Return to Rab, not to turn God. The Quran Surah 89, Ayah 27, return to your Lord pleasing and please. Dear believers, there is a verse in the Quran that I mentioned on the Larry King Show, and this verse tells us everything that we need to know. Yes, it does. To situate our life to go forward and achieve what we have been created to achieve. If we would just accept it, what this verse says, this one portion of the ayah, it says, O soul at rest, mutmanina. Mutmanina is the Arabic term. O soul at rest, at peace. That's what it means. Find peace. Return to your Lord, return to God. But why didn't it just say, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It says, return to your Rabb, the Lord, because that attribute of God has you recognized. God is the one who has created you for growth, after growth until you reach fulfillment or completion. He has been all of the time right there with you, though you didn't know it, waiting for you to earn his special help to keep you going from one progress to another progress, or from one phrase in the road to another, so that you get to that end goal complete as God wants you to be. That's what it means by Rab, Lord. Return to your Lord how? Pleasing and radayin. Radayin, pleasing him. That means you have been making an effort in your life to please the best. And certainly the best is God, isn't it? But even if you do not know God, if you would just do what Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, did before God revealed anything to him, and that is, not to deviate at all from the effect to please the best in your own nature created by God. So God is really the salvation. If we will know God, then we will fulfill our life. The life becomes complete. This means the believer has been striving to please his Lord. In Quranic Arabic it is, Radayatin Madiyatin. Both these words are from the same root word, but one is a verb in the active present tense and future tense. So the believer is striving to please his God. That is his position that he took in life. And he will keep striving to please his Lord, because you have been striving to please your God, you are pleasing to yourself. Radayatin Madiyatin means pleasing to your God and self-please. So what is this saying to us? And what does God say? Fakuli fi ibadi. Fakuli fi ibadi. Enter you amongst my workers, my servants. And it also means enter you amongst my worshipers, amongst my servants. Then it says, Wakuli Janati, and therefore enter you, my garden of paradise. Now, Janati, God's garden of paradise, what is God's garden of paradise? A garden is something that needs cultivating. A garden suggests that care is given it, and it is developed, it is cultivated, and it has been made beautiful because of the work on it or the work for it. To keep it like that, you have to continue to work. He says, enter you amongst my workers. It is a garden. It is God's garden. And in the Hadith Qudsi collection, which means God inspired, so this is the prophet, prayer than the peace be upon him. Qudsi means holy, and it is believed that God inspired Muhammad, prayer than the peace be upon him, to say those things. They were not just ordinary conversations of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon it. I believe this is one of them. Hadith Qudsi, land you cannot plow. So he said there is a piece of land that no one is to come into with their plow to plow it or to work in it. It is reserved exclusively for God. So this is the sanctuary of the human spirit and soul that is supposed to know right from wrong. In fact, it always knew right from wrong. The sanctuary of the human spirit and soul. God said that it is for him to plow or to cultivate only. You may not know how to solve the problem of the world like Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He was a complete human being, but he did not know how to solve the problems of the world, not even the problems of the peninsula called Arabia. Now, it took the second portion of God's mercy and revelation from himself, communicating guidance, guidance and knowledge, teaching from himself to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to situate Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to lead the people into the beautiful community. Life without problems that man will have without guidance of God. First and second mercy of God. God said, O soul at rest, who have found peace, return to your Lord pleasing and pleased. If you strive to the best that is in you, when you get help from God and you keep that, don't stop that. The religion is to continue that. The religion is to complement that. The religion is to give the additional help, not to go against it. That's why it says pattern on that which the human society has been patterned upon. You don't reject the first mercy. If you do, then you have nothing to do to put the second mercy upon. You have no pattern to adjust the next mercy to. So the next mercy has to be patterned or fitted in, adjusted to the first mercy. So you see now how people have bad Islam and good Islam, human Islam and demonic Islam. You see how they can have that when they don't pattern it to the best of the human nature that God created? Everything is lost. So if you just remember that God is saying to you, I created you with a nature to go after the best. And if you do that, if you go after the best, when you get God's help, you are going to please me. And you are also going to be pleasing to yourself. So what is the requirement for me having my own life satisfying me where I'll be pleased with it or satisfied? I have given it to you plainly, enter you my paradise. But look at the language. Jannati is the garden of man's own spiritual creation. Wakuli Jannati, the same sound that I make when I say my garden, meaning God's garden, say my garden of paradise, I say the same word, Jannati. But when the proposition goes before garden in Arabic grammar, it changes jannatun to jannati. And the jannati is a hint that man, you are only entering your own garden. It is the garden of your own spiritual creation. Allahu Akbar. So we have been blessed not to just in Ramadan. We have been blessed all along the road of our trials and tribulations, our hits and misses. But the road of our good intention, we have been blessed. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 5. Allah wants servants he creates. Well, then how did we get here, we may say. He says that whenever he wants one of us, he creates us. He is our creator. And don't think that the concept is really different from the concept in Judaism or in Christianity. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 6. Three veiled darkness. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 6, three veils of darkness. So he makes you in the womb of your mother in stages, one after another, and three veils of darkness. Let's get back to what we are talking about. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we came out of triple darkness. The physical world is a womb, and we know that it is the physical world that blots out light. So we know that all darkness is a shadow of something physical. So we know that. All right. So we come out of the physical womb, which is darkness. It is physical darkness. We come out of this, but we are the same germ that exists in its origin. But we are not permitted to know just how the womb was and just how we were formed in it. So we are not permitted to know that. We are just permitted to come out of it. As we come out of it, we are permitted to gradually know, gradually grow into wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of it, not to go back and see how it was made, but to improve upon what we have found. Isn't this a wonderful God? He doesn't want us backing up. It takes too long to back up in time to the beginning and spend our time looking at what was done in the beginning. He did it rightly. He did what he had to do. He did his job well. We don't have to go back up in time and review what he did. That will hold us up. He wants us to take over from here and keep going. So he won't even let us see what he was doing, knowing that we are weakling to begin with. I want to connect myself with the voice that I hear speaking behind the sunlight. I want to connect myself with a voice that I hear speaking behind the ocean waves, behind the trembling of the earth, behind the falling of rain, behind the accumulation of ice, behind the coming of winter, summer, spring, and fall. I sense that there is something speaking to me behind these things that I am aching to, but trillions and trillions and trillions of years of separation have made me dull to understanding the language of my origin. So we rise above the matter with new matter. So the birth of the original man into the physical creation, and then another birth of the original man out of the physical creation tells us something. We were brought out of the triple darkness. The first was darkness. The second was darkness. So one of those darknesses is the material of physical creation. So we come out of it. Every man is born out of this physical world, womb of darkness, with no knowledge of the womb. Come here. And the head is large and heavy. Sometimes it takes 2-3 months before it can lift the head up. The physical world is a wound and it blocks out light. All darkness is a shadow of something physical. We come out of the womb with a darkness, but we are in the same germ that exists in its origin. But we are not permitted to know just how the womb was and how we are formed in it. So we are permitted to come out of it. Then we are permitted to grow in knowledge of it, not to go back to see how it was made, but to improve upon what we have found. This world is akin to me. My flesh feeds upon it. My flesh is another form of this earth. I discovered I am creatures superior to the food that I eat. I have a hunger for more than beans, rice, meat, etc. Have a hunger for connection, for reunion. I want to connect myself with a voice that I hear speaking behind the sunlight, ocean, falling rain. A sense there's something speaking to me behind these things, akin to me. But trillions of years of separation have made me dull to understanding the language of my origin. So we rise above the matter. What new matter? We rise and we stand over common matter and walk on earth like a ruler. He fails to come alive to his being, that he is not just simple matter. He is not just creation, earth, not subject to, not limited to creation, but created to rule, expand, extend, explore creation as man in opening a gigantic book. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayah 28, death, resurrection as a single soul. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 6, three veils, darkness, created in womb. Bukhari, page 4, 439, page 6, 478. Muhammad, cave, three squeezes. Nathaniel 13:15, tread wine press alone. Matthew 12:40, as Jonah in well 3 days, so Jesus earth. As Jonah was in the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Social potential, heart of the earth. The social potential, he shall be. And the social potential, he shall be a germ, a potent germ. In the social potential, he will be dormant in the body of mankind. But when the right thing happens, in the environment, that dormant life shall become restless. It is going to be bored with its state, and it is going to become active, and it's going to rise up from the heart of the earth. A picture of that is practically every prophet. But we are going to look at Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him. So Muhammad came, three squeezes, three vows of darkness. The social potential in Muhammad was oppressed. His environment oppressed his social potential, and it got so painful to him that he had to leave his environment and go to the cave in seclusion and strain to get revelation or some kind of help from whatever God was responsible for his being and the creation. And in time, he was pressed three times, right? Fi thalathin, three vials of darkness. He was pressed three times. The third time, he received the light, communication. He began to read the revelation. Jesus, Son of God, Muhammad, clear word of God. So where was he before he received revelation? Before he began to be revealed? Where was he? Understand that he was the word, too, living, demonstrating, communicating clearly, rationally to us in the world. No, by signs like Jesus. He's not the word communicating by signs like Jesus. He is the word communicating with clear rational language in the world. He is the second promise of Jesus. He is the second Jesus. Now, don't go and tell somebody that the imam said Muhammad is Jesus. You'll be lying and you'll be wrong. I didn't say he is Jesus. I'm talking in the language of signs, fulfilling signs. Okay, and I distinguish between him and Jesus. I just said that Jesus was the word communicating to us by signs, and Muhammad is the word communicating to us with a clear rational language. So the second coming of Jesus is not the return of that Jesus. That's why it says, I go away and you see me no more. The real me. This is me that you identify. It's never coming back again. But the same that produced me is going to happen again. And nevertheless, you shall see me. Not his, not this one, but you shall see the word in Muhammad. Yes. I heard somebody say, as plain as day, that's right. Now, I thank Allah, and I thank Allah for being put amongst you all. Because if I hadn't been put amongst you all, I would have had that heavy burden on my potential. And it says, he shall come treading the winepress alone. But who provided the winepress? Somebody, praise be to Allah. So Muhammad then was in the heart of the earth, wasn't he? His social potential was suppressed, oppressed in the heart of the earth. And the pressure on it made him rise up from the earth and go up in the mountain, go up in a cave in a mountain, seeking seclusion there so he could perhaps have privacy with the one that was responsible for his existence. And God came to him, yes, God came to him and began to address his needs. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayah 28, death, resurrection as a single soul. And Muhammad is addressing his needs. He was addressing the needs of all mankind on this earth. Oh, yes, it says that the life and the resurrection is as one soul, or death, pardon me, and resurrection is as the one soul, nafsin wahida, nafsin wahida. So that is repeated over and over again in history. But now we see it in Muhammad. His life, actually his death, was his refusal to have his life and character molded by the world. Cain, equal skull. And the cave means dead. The mind is dead. The mind refuses to have any light of its own. The cave really is a picture of the skull. They don't want to tell you the skull. It's kind of horrifying. They don't tell you he went into a skull, into a human skull, but that's what the cave really means. The wise will tell you the cave is the cave of man's skull. It means it emptied out all of his brain. Uswa, all that the life of his own mind, he emptied it out until there was nothing left but the encasing for that life. In other words, he sacrificed himself to receive the light of God, the word of God, sacrificed himself completely so that he received the light of God. And in that cave, God came to him, and he created him from nothing, right? There was nothing in the cave, not nothing in the terms of a person, nothing in terms of enlightenment. There was nothing in terms of a brain that would become Muhammad's brain. There was nothing except the framework, except his uswa. His uswa is the framework, it's the container for what God is going to put into it. So God actually came to the cave himself. You see, that's what we have to understand. He went up into the cave of himself, and he made the cave skull empty of all of his appetites and influences and everything. And he became still, perfectly still, as a completely, totally dead mind or intellect. And he became non-existent, so to speak. Pleading to God, he made the best sajda. He went further than the fetus in the womb. He went back further than dust. He became non-existent. of any reality. As any reality, he was non-existent. In his straining for understanding, perception, enlightenment, guidance for the intellect, and in that empty cave, God spoke to his non-existing body. He said, be kun fayakun. And when he came down to heaven, was a smoke in commotion. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 6, made you from a single soul. He made them of one entity, male and female, of one entity. That means that he made them human. Then he causes them to become two and mate with each other and produce many men and women. Sexism, none. In religion, male, female, soul, same. So we are a product of Adam, thing called Adam. That is really naming nothing but our human, common human identity. The common human constitution that we have is called Adam. God says, this is human. That's all God is saying. I made you human, male and female. And from you come many children, all the world, and populate the world. So there is no need for that excess sexism in Islam or in religion. We shouldn't even have the issue of sexism in religion. We shouldn't have that. It's the ignorance of leaders in the religion that letting the problem go on and on and on. The informed in religion, they should explain clearly what is meant by male and female and give what God says. God says that he has made us of one single entity. Believe me, some say, well, this man talks differently. No, listen to the thinkers now in Islam. They are talking exactly as I am talking. The thinkers in Islam talking exactly as I am talking. Among the scholars, talking exactly as I'm talking, that means that man's soul is no different from human soul originally. Originally, the only thing that makes his soul different is that he engages in different things in a different situation, different environment, job, different environment, situation, for his job, for his work, etc. So his soul begins to be affected by his indulgence, what he indulges in. The same soul God gave the female. If she takes of his practice and follow his masculine tradition and time, her soul will become just as his. Her soul will be influenced by the same circumstances, by the same work field or situation. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 6, English, Sami, eight heads of cattle and pairs. Isaiah 51:12, son of man as grass. So here we have four as a symbolic of what is universal. And the Quran also says, and he revealed four heads of cattle in pairs, right? So you double the pairs to become eight. That's why I said it wasn't all of it. Is something else. And we receive four heads of cattle in pairs. So when we have four for human universality, human science is different from material science. We have four for the sciences. So we have the universality of human life and nature. We have universality for the world of knowledge and nature. They are different. The human being is on a higher plane spiritually and on a higher plane mentally than the rest of creation. So he revealed eight heads of cattle and pairs. He revealed the knowledge for human edification, human science, and he revealed the knowledge for material edification, physics, chemistry, of all of these things. That's what it means. It means that God of creation is the God of both reality, and therefore he's the teacher for both realities. And through Muhammad, he got that. And the proof is that the world came unto enlightenment and to progress. Seed is a dead stage. The first stage of life is roots in the earth with a little stem so it can have sunlight, freedom, and then it takes another form. It develops branches, green, and it stands up. Some will bear flowers. Some will bear seeds. Some will bear fruit. So actually, it's three stages, isn't it? Three main stages. One is anchoring in the ground. The other one is forming outside of the ground. And the last one is providing for its continued life. So the fruit gives you something nice to taste and everything. So the grass is not there to show off. It's humble. This is not vain. It's simply straight up because it's not vain. It gives you the secrets of its life, not in the ground. It's right there in your eyes. It's not enshrouded like the apple seed. So you have to bite down into the apple to find the seed. Its life, as it expresses itself, shows you the secrets of its origin, earth like carpet. So it's a sign of openness, honesty, and charity with the knowledge of how life continues. For his of cattle and pears that eat grass. And if the grass is a servant of God, and the servant of God is giving up the secrets of life, then what are they eating? They are eating knowledge. The cows are eating a particular knowledge. And those that eat that kind of knowledge, when an awareness of it, and they are sacred cows. So in the intellect, it is a cow, and the cow chews over what is trying to understand, taste, and digest, chews it on. It is not. Choose just doesn't pick up something and swallow. It chews on it a lot. Then it's got a second stomach. It puts it in there and let it sit there a while in a place of rest. And then when the thought hits, it brings it back up, chew on it some more. Now that is how that now that is has been in that place of rest for a while. Maybe now I can find out what this is, learn more about what this is. I have swallowed. So this is activity of the intellect. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 6, Three Veils of Darkness. The third step and stage in the development of the soul is characterized by effects made to improve its own state of existence. To improve our state of existence, the ascended nature, the nature to rise higher in the scales of human worth to fulfill the need in your life to be satisfied with yourself, be satisfied with yourself as a creature of great worth, the demand on us for self-esteem. It merits in the society of the good doers and the excellent people. We want inclusion. We want to be amongst them. We want them to accept us. And this is in all of us, although some of us give up too soon. Some of us never give up. We never give up trying to better our own condition and better our own mind and better our own condition so that we will be able to demand a place amongst the best people on this earth. And I believe that's what the Nation of Islam wanted for us, that we work hard and we improve ourselves to qualify so we wouldn't have to beg somebody to accept us, but our work would cause them to invite us amongst them, and they would be happy to include us. Thank God. We have come there with the light of the Quran and the light of Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, life. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second stage, ascending spirit. Pardon me. Third stage, ascending spirit. I repeat, the third stage in the development of the soul is characterized by effects made to improve our state of existence. I believe this self is the ascending self, the ascending soul, or the ascending spirit. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 7, mercy, knowledge overreaches all things. Muslim 65:18, education, seek Allah, makes path easy. Al-Islam as a religion of peace. In many ways, we are promoting Al-Islam if we are following and obeying our religion as we should be. And we can't do that without knowledge. Brothers and sisters, Muslims, remember that God said that the knowledgeable people who learn and then share the knowledge with others, they will be in the new world that God will create, or what they call paradise. To come, they will be in the ranks next to the prophet themselves. And the same interest has been given to us in the saying of the prophet, praise and the peace be upon him, who says, whoever goes out takes a path to seek knowledge for the benefit that it has, or that it is in for others, has entered upon the path of God. That a strong statement, and Allah Most High God himself says to us in the Quran, and everything, skies, earth, everything, including our own selves, that God has incorporated, brought all this together in a harmony, in a unity upon this, upon and through knowledge and mercy. So knowledge, its purpose is to bring relief to the society. Now, what is all this to say to us about knowledge and mercy? You can be cruel with knowledge. With knowledge, you can do cruel things, but God didn't intend knowledge to be used that way. The knowledge is to be used to bring the relief to the society, to the human family. And you can be cruel with kindness, but God intended that our kindness be sincere, our kindness be unselfishness, our kindness be in accord with the will of God, who is all good and does not accept any bad or any wrong. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, surely God is good and does not accept any wrong or any bad. And to give more support to that description of God as a God of good, all good, God says to us in the Quran, do not put into your charity that would shame you if it was disclosed to the people where you got it from. God is good and does not accept anything but good. No bad thing, no wrong thing. Al-Islam is a religion of peace. Al-Islam wants to, as our goal on this earth, community enlightenment. And it could be said in another way, family establishment, but it is not our personal family. It is the family God made of all of us, the human family. Al-Islam wants us to have community life established for the human family. And at the same time, we are not encouraged or permitted even to impose it upon others. God asks of us that we be examples, that we be witnesses, witnessing what God wants according to our scripture that you received through Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who received it from the archangel Jibril. The Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 7, Allah embraced all in mercy and knowledge. A true religious community. There are people who don't want to see the Muslim with the image or reputation for being a true legitimate religious community. They are enemies who come amongst the Muslim community who want to keep the public thinking that we are people belonging to some weird cult. Their intentions are not really religion. Their intentions are to troublemakers, or troublemaking, pardon me. They want the public to think that Muslims are some kind of undercover gang that wears religious labels. These people really hate the presence of any good person, and knowing that this religion feeds the good side, the good nature, and the good life of human beings. They work hard trying to keep Muslim minds confused. I often hear these people come up with their own saying behind a good one. The wrongdoers can't leave a good thing alone. If you say something that will establish good and influence good, they have to come behind it with a devilish way, with a hiss that suggests bad in order to kill the effects of the good. The devil and his servant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has revealed everything in the Quran. Every issue is covered. The devil and his servant would like you to think this religion is preached just like a beautiful story. If you enjoy it like a beautiful piece of music or a beautiful story, then you are as safe. But if you take this religion serious in all of its details, they want you to think that you are out of your mind. So these are the whisperers of the devil that wants us to doubt what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established. Such evil persons say, don't trust this religion all the way. Use your own intelligence. Tell an average person in America to use his or her own intelligence in matters of religion. They have very little ability to use their own intelligence in matters of anything. Their life is proof that they can't make proper judgment. Now, why didn't those people encourage others to make judgment according to what God has said? Quran sent because your mind is terribly limited and that life is too big for you. Don't let your own mind cause you to doubt what God has said or cause you to go astray or do something different from what God has established. Follow Prophet Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him. Obey the believers to obey and believe in him. Know that your mind is terribly limited and that life is too big for you. You need the divine word of God. And you need a man that God accepted as a guide for you to follow. That man is Prophet Muhammad. We know that the form life takes, whether it is religion, business, cultural, or political, there is a context for it. Everything must exist within some content, within some boundary. We don't live or think any and everywhere. All of our activities are limited to certain boundaries. Knowledge and content for everything is its identity. It says that he has made for everything a knowledge context to give it a boundary and to give it an identity. So when you leave that knowledge content, you come out of your boundary and out of your identity. Unless we see and understand this, we are in the dark. Knowledge of our own situation and what is required of us in that situation is the light for us. Without that knowledge, we are in the dark. A person may call himself a Muslim and live in a knowledge content that is not Muslim. And though he calls himself a Muslim, does not make him one. There must be a knowledge because it is within that content that the life of a thing we identify with is protected. It is Muslim knowledge that makes a person a Muslim. So we are not supposed to have everybody in one little group under one person. In fact, you can't progress in such a situation. Any leader, imams or amqat, representative that will cooperate with people and keeping the Muslim confined to one place and under one leader are enslaved, enslavers, or infiltrators. they are working with people who are trying to keep the little man from growing. A situation such as that is not of our religion. Al-Islam is not a religion of containment. It is not designed to hold people in a prison. Prison house within you carried within a condition of enslavement, confinement that limits your freedom. So there is a prophet called Yusuf in the Quran and Joseph in the Bible. As God could have, as a God, could he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Now, what is scripture telling us in this story of Joseph? It is saying that there is something that may prevail as a condition which amounts to enslavement or confinement. So this condition is a prison. Systems of knowledge. The Quran Surah 1, Ayah 2, Lord of all the worlds, systems of knowledge. The Quran Surah 40, Ayah 7, Allah encompasses everything in knowledge. So the system of knowledge is everything that exists except Allah. Washakuli shalin ilmin. Washakuli shalin ilmin. Everything has been encompassed in knowledge. Kul shalin, that means that there is no single thing in the universe that doesn't have a knowledge text. It has a knowledge text, and its knowledge text, it is systems of knowledge. Yes, it's knowledge text. It's systems of knowledge. So the knowledge text of the human being is the sun in sense of human being makeup for his human body. For a bird is different. For wheat grain is different. For everything is different, right? For every single thing is different. The Quran Surah 41, Ayah 53, sign in the heavens and in self. The Quran Surah 7, Ayah 89, rate you to recesses with his knowledge. Everything has its knowledge text, and God blesses science to find that knowledge text. And we say, find what God says in the material side, in the material side. But they don't find what God is saying into us. See how God made all of that to read something to man that he relates to his own creation. And everything in the heavens and the earth, they are signs as well as in yourself. So this mic, the microphone, to know what this mic is, you have to go to the science who invented this, right? And the inventor will tell you how this mic operates. He will give you the science, the knowledge, body for this thing we call mic. Everything that exists have its knowledge text. That's what Allah means when he says, Washakuli shalin ilmin. Washakuli shalin ilma. And in another place it says, ilmin wasrakma. Knowledge and mercy. Why? Because when you get the knowledge, the utility that God's mercy is to you. Wasakuli shalin ilmin wal rakna. The Quran Surah 12, Ayah 76. Over all is one endued with knowledge. The Quran Surah 30, Ayah 56, those endued with knowledge. Now, Lord of the systems of knowledge, where do we go directly to see what that addresses? The planet, the universe, the stars, and the makeup, this universe. Each one is a body of knowledge and a universal system of knowledge. But each one has its own separate body of knowledge in the universal system of knowledge. If you study Mars, you get a different body of knowledge than you get out of the study of Mercury. You study Earth and you get a different body of knowledge. So each body has its own individuality in terms of its composition. It makes up its situation in the universe. Therefore, it has its own text. Each one has its own text inside the sphere of each one of these. There are many things. And every sealed thing has its knowledge body and its text. Systems of knowledge, God guided me to that. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Mirage Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. We want to say to you that we are asking you to pray. Make a prayer for our Ukrainian brothers and sisters. And war is on their world. If you can do more, do more. But if you can't do any more, pray. Pray for them. Pray for them to be successful to come out of the war. And believe you me, prayer helps. Don't think it doesn't. Prayer helps. Thank you. Tomorrow, our beloved brother Imam Musa, Muslim Abui, he is the great-grandson of the Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington. He will be your host tomorrow at 7 p.m., inshallah. We thank New Africa Excellent Mirage Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.